Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Lakers trail by three. LeBron behind the three-point line, dribbles into traffic. Anthony Davis for the tie. It's good! Davis with a huge three. Timeout, Brooklyn.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. Lakers, Dodgers, you know, they have big hopes and dreams for 2020. And right now, everything is on hold. Clippers, too, in Los Angeles. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Michael Duarte, who covers the L.A. sports scene. He's an L.A. native, and he's with NBC L.A. Michael, there's a lot to talk about, of course, with the number of sports in your neck of the woods. I've been really impressed with the Dodgers, so let's start there. They've been so innovative during this sports hibernation, during the pandemic. They've made the most of the situation. What have you seen from them that you like?
I would say two things, and one's more not as much recent, the other one is more recent. So the Dodgers Zoom party, I think, has been one of the most impressive things as far as their engagement with fans. A lot of the other teams here in Southern California, the Rams, the Lakers, the Chargers, their PR departments have done, you know, a very good job of like making players available as much as they can and hosting Zoom calls with reporters and things. But the Dodgers kind of like took it to another level. We're going to bring in players, announcers, Hall of Famers, Dodgers super fans, celebrities, and put them all in one place and just let them kind of go off and discuss and let everybody watch it. And the fact that they keep doing it, now they've done one in Spanish, I think that's been one of the more impressive things, just what they've done as far as their fan engagement and to keep fans who are yearning for anything sports-related right now engaged. And then as far as the other side, the Dodgers have done a good job of paying their employees, setting up a fund to pay all the stadium workers, that David Price, in addition to the Dodgers paying the minor leaguers that are not on the 40-man roster a $400 a week stipend, David Price, who hasn't even thrown a single pitch for the Dodgers in a Dodger uniform, is going to give $1,000 to every minor leaguer. That's over 200 minor leaguers not in the 40-man roster, over $200,000 out of his pocket to make sure that they have some money during this hard time, too, when it looks like they're not going to be playing at all this year.
Yeah, the minor league system could end up getting gutted by contraction, but we've heard so many hundreds of players have been cut. And even if it would have happened, the fact that there might be no season and you really get the end to some of these opportunities and dreams is really difficult. So that was a cool move by David Price. What have you heard from any of the Dodgers or around the Dodgers about the prospect of coming to an agreement with the owners about getting back on the field?
Yeah, so the players and the Dodger players specifically that I've spoken to from their homes, they all seem to be still optimistic that there will be a season and encouraged that they will get this to work out. Me, as a media member watching this from afar, as a third-party bystander watching these negotiations and then comparing them to the negotiations we're seeing go on with the NHL and the NBA, and I have to say, with what Adam Silver is doing with the NBA, he's doing it right, in my opinion. There's no timetables, there's no rush, and the pain of the players and the financial aspect has taken a back seat to the health and safety of his players in the league, and the rest will kind of follow suit once they've gotten the health out of the way. And I know players are very concerned with that 67-page document that the MLB sent out about the health and safety protocols for COVID-19 if the season were to resume. But they just seem so far apart right now when a season would need to begin, as they were saying, you know, first week of July or something, that I just don't know now if this is going to happen. I probably would have told you 60-70% of baseball season would have happened a couple weeks ago. And now I might say, you know, less than 40% it happens at this point, because they just seem to be so far away on the financial aspects of it right now.
The money part of it, I think, is so off-putting to many fans because of what our nation is going through. Now, I haven't specifically heard any Dodgers come out publicly and say something along the lines of, say, a Blake Snell or a Bryce Harper on Twitch. Have you been able to ask any of the players about coming to an agreement in terms of money?
Every time I get into it with them, they don't want to discuss the money specifically. They say that's why we have a union, and those guys are looking out for their best interests. We had talked to Clayton Kershaw at NBC a few weeks ago, way before the most recent negotiations with MLB, and he was very encouraged. He's staying in shape. He's pitching. He calls himself a camp counselor for his kids because he's like basically the guy. Ellen, his wife, is teaching him the school teacher part, and he's doing the daily activities for the kids. And so he enjoys being home with the family. But he was one of those, you know, 10, 11 players making over $20 million a year in 2020 that would have made a quarter of that under that sliding scale that the owners and MLB presented most recently here that was rejected by the players. And I think for him, and I would say a lot of players who are in that situation, that there's a kind of a two-parter there. And one is that, you know, is it the argument that Blake Snell made, and he was making less, but for someone like Kershaw, who, you know, has earned that over his career and would be making that money over $20 million a season, to maybe only make $7 million this season, is that worth it to him and his family and his kids, maybe be apart for them for 6 months, however they decide to do this, risking his health potentially if he was to contract COVID and, you know, maybe had permanent lung damage or something from it? That's a question you have to ask, if it's worth that small amount. I know we look at it as, okay, well, you're making millions anyways and endorsements and stuff, but that's a risk and a decision he has to make. And I know there are players out there that would be happy not to make it. The other part of it is there's also minor league players I've spoken to on the Dodgers who are barely making $1 million this season, who would be making closer to, you know, 70, 80, 90% of that. Mm-hmm. And that is a big deal. That might be the only money they make. But that's kind of where you see what's happening with this negotiations. You have owners kind of pitting the players against each other, especially the big names, faces of the MLB, the Mike Trouts, the Garrett Coles, the Clayton Kershaws, against these minor league guys who are making, you know, the major league minimum, who need this money to survive for the year. And they're kind of pitting them against each other and making them look like the bad guys in the negotiations. And to me, I think the players are aware of that, and that's not good when you're trying to come to an ultimate negotiation, especially in a short amount of time.
Michael Duarte covers sports in Los Angeles for NBC LA. That includes the Dodgers, also includes the Lakers, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What was the last basketball experience you had before everything shut down?
Oh, man, yeah. So the first experience, so we went to, I'm trying to remember the game now, the last Laker game we went to, everything was fine. I think it was a Sunday game. And then they announced on our off day, it was a Monday, that when we returned as media on Tuesday, there would be a social distancing rule in effect. There'd be no more locker room access pregame or postgame. We were to stay, I think, 6 to 10 feet behind the podium, in which we would get to ask LeBron James and Anthony Davis questions after the game. This was the game against the Brooklyn Nets that ultimately caused a huge stir because four players, on the Brooklyn Nets ended up testing positive, and then three Lakers players afterwards ended up testing positive. Most of those names, except for we know Kevin Durant, remained anonymous. But then the next day was obviously the Oklahoma City Thunder and Utah Jazz game with Rudy Gobert's positive test that shut the league down. I saw, and me and the media and other members of the media had conversations about this. We kind of saw this coming, that once the media was no longer allowed in the locker room and they were social distancing us, it seemed like it was just a matter of time before a player would get it. And once the player contracted the virus, we knew it would shut down. And the last trip I had made to spring training with the Dodgers, again, we were talking about the same thing, that once it hit baseball, and a player had tested positive, there would be no season. And we were kind of expecting that from the start, and it just kind of happened so quickly. It just snowballed so quickly, all of the sports suspending and shutting down. It was just very dizzying in how fast, how quickly it all ended.
Right. Absolutely. And now here we are. It's nearly 3 months later, and we've seen a return to play skeleton plan from the NHL. June 1st appears to be a date that the NBA has targeted, though we're finding out that the players themselves want to get back on court. The general managers do as well, though they're not quite agreed on the format. What of these formats do you like? Finish the regular season, scrap the rest of the regular season, a play-in tournament, which has been getting some play, like Damian Lillard has mentioned it. What do you like, Mike, of what you've seen?
Yeah, and so I've talked to a lot of the players on the Lakers specifically. Thankfully, the Lakers PR staff does an amazing job of making them available for group interviews and one-on-one interviews with the media as well. I can tell you all the Lakers, they would prefer to go straight to the playoffs. Whether it's eight, you know, the traditional eight seeds in the West, eight seeds in the East, and then play it out East place West finals, or, you know, try the experiment of going 1-16 overall, like they talked about in years. And this could be the year to try that. That's what they like. And I think that's best as well. I understand the Damian Lillard argument here. And I understand how teams like the New Orleans Pelicans, who, you know, finally got healthy with Zion, and the Portland Trailblazers, who could be good, and the San Antonio Spurs, who could all, you know, contest for that eighth spot in the West with Memphis. But at the same time, I would feel bad for Memphis, who has a 3.5 game lead over them. If you were going to cancel the regular season, to now send all of these people to Orlando, and I've also heard from sources that if they do a play-in tournament, and it's more than just 16 teams, like if it's 20 or 24 teams like the NHL format we talked about, that they would actually do two sites. They're talking about Orlando and Vegas as a site if there's that many teams. But we're talking about these teams who maybe would get into a six-week training camp, come back out, play one or two games, and then their season is over. Yeah. Whereas Memphis, you know, earned the right to have 3.5 games up and add that eight seed through almost 70 games or 60, whatever games it ended up being. So if it was me and I was in charge, I would just do the 16 teams playoffs and have it out. And that's why I think when we talk about baseball and are those negotiations going to be completed, it's much easier to me in the NHL and the NBA, who can really just go straight to the playoffs and get this thing done in a month or two, compared to baseball, which is starting from scratch. They'd have to do spring training 2.0 and then do an 82-game or 100-game season and try not to have any players contract the virus in the interim. I think that's a lot more of a difficult and daunting task than just doing a playoff tournament.
Michael Duarte of NBC LA covering a lot of ground there. And there's so much that we could chew over, from baseball to basketball and the different ways that those two sports are approaching the challenge in front of them. And so we want Mike to hold on. We're going to get through here to our update and a quick break, and then we'll do a little more with our guest from Los Angeles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There's the 1-2. And Bellinger swings and he hammers it. Deep right field. There goes number 40. First to 40 in the big leagues, Cody Bellinger. A three-run home run.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Neverett on the Dodgers radio network, the reigning NL MVP. We should be seeing those home runs. In fact, the worst that we should be talking about is how the Astros cheated in 2017. But man, have we heard hide nor hair of that story in months? No. We're in the middle of a conversation with Michael Duarte from NBC LA. It's always good to have you on board, Michael. Thanks so much for hanging with us. LA has been one of the more conservative areas when it comes to reopening and getting through the various phases following the worst of the coronavirus. But now the city and, of course, the state of California have invited sports teams to return. So what's the latest with the facilities in your area?
So almost all the facilities have opened back up here in Los Angeles and California. The NBA facilities, the Lakers and Clippers facilities, I opened up, I want to say, two Saturdays ago. Don't quote me directly on that. But players like Jared Dudley, Quinn Cook, Kyle Kuzma, Markieff Morris were all at the Lakers practice facility, keeping their distance, of course. There is a lot of safety guidelines and protocols. In fact, Jared Dudley, in an interview that I did with him, walked us through the process now. So you drive into the Lakers practice facility. Somebody takes your temperature. They ask you a bunch of questions. Have you been around somebody sick? You know, a few minutes of questions. They don't even let you bring your shoes in. It's like a family-style house, you know, when they have nice carpets. You take your shoes off at the door. You enter in the practice facility without the shoes. If you are in any common area getting treatment, in the gym working out, you got to wear a mask and protective gear. When you're on the court, you don't have to, but the assistant coaches and things fetching the balls and the rebounds for you, they do have to wear masks and gloves. And that's how it is at the NBA practice facilities. The NFL practice facilities, the Rams facility is also open, but only to players who are receiving treatment or rehabbing an injury. I'm also hearing that I think by next week they're going to be allowing coaches now to come back in, and then slowly they'll allow players to come back into the NFL facilities as well. The MLS soccer facilities, the Galaxy and LAFC have been back in training. So it's definitely starting to come back here as a whole here in Los Angeles. I do even know, by the way, Amy, that players themselves on the Dodgers are back at Dodger Stadium practicing, and those facilities are open as well for players to come to Dodger Stadium as well.
Michael Duarte of NBC LA, always so informed with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You have your finger in a lot of different areas in in LA sports. And so you're not just covering one particular sport. So I think this question that I've asked a lot of my guests will be interesting for you. But what do you miss the most right now?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I will say it's funny. I mean, I just miss live sports the most. I love being in these atmospheres and these environments, which is almost making me sad that even if sports do resume and even if they do allow media or certain media to cover them, there's going to probably be no fans in attendance, and it's going to be very eerie, to watch that and hear that, because I miss the roar of the crowd. I miss the excitement. I miss the booze. I miss all of that. And, you know, like I said, I feel like, you know, people should be beaming the Astros players when they come into the box right now and booing them at every stadium they go visit. And it was only until, I would say, middle of April, I walked outside and it was great weather out here in Los Angeles, and you could smell barbecuing and I could smell hot dogs, and it kind of brought me back to the Dodger dogs at Dodger Stadium. And I really suddenly just missed baseball. Being outside, smelling the fresh cut grass, the roar of the crowd, the smell of the food, the crack of the bat, all of that is what I miss the most, just the sound, sights, and smells of covering sports.
Mm. Michael, it's certainly no shortage of topics, though. I mean, people say to me, what are you talking about now when there's no sports? And honestly, I feel like if you poke your head up even a little bit, you recognize it's been very busy. It's not what we're used to, but there's been nonstop news from the NFL, from the NBA, from, you know, Major League Baseball now with their fight over trying to get back on the field. It's been busy. It's just a different kind of busy.
Yeah, and I will say I've been watching you take down the trolls who have been saying, oh, you have nothing to talk about on Twitter. And I love it, because that is completely not true. It is why, thank God, knock on wood, you know, I still have a job and an employed. And I will say this, though. I will say, Amy, originally, outside of the NFL, which was like all of the news that we were getting because they were still in their off season and trades were taking place and free agent signings were taking place and Tom Brady was going to Tampa Bay of all places.
Right.
And the draft was coming up. So there was plenty of stories in the NFL. But outside of the NFL, it felt like early on it was kind of like coronavirus watch. Who was testing positive and where, and what was going on with these players. And that was kind of the early stories. But then as time went on, it became, you know, different stories. And the one thing I have really, really enjoyed focusing on during this pandemic, as far as getting to interview athletes and players from our local markets, is getting a look behind the curtain of their personal lives, which we usually don't get during the season because it's all kind of, you know, day-to-day driven with performance-based and team-based and what's happening on the field or the court.
Yes.
But to see these athletes doing TikTok videos and and puzzles and not knowing what to do with their time like us, and like I mentioned to you, interviewing Dwight Howard and having his dog nonstop barking, going crazy in the backyard, and Dwight Howard telling me he's playing hide-and-go-seek with his children on a 20-acre ranch in Georgia during the quarantine was just crazy. So I like hearing those kind of stories and getting a glimpse of these athletes who we only see them as one thing on the field, to get a peek behind the curtain and see how they are in their personal lives. And when you break it down and they're stuck at home just like the rest of us, they are ending up just like the rest of us.
For sure. We're all human beings at the basic level. It's always good to have Michael on the show. One of our favorites on Twitter. You can find him at Michael J. Duarte, covering the L.A. sports scene for NBC L.A. And we will, of course, talk to you again soon. But thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
You're very, very welcome. My next step is to get rid of this unnecessary quarantine beard I have.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.